Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. You know, while I was growing up, I was blessed. All my relatives lived in walking distance from me. My grandmother was a block away. My other grandmother was two blocks away. My cousins were close enough that we became good buddies as we were growing up, playing football and baseball together. It was ideal. And we were all Lutheran. We all went to the same church, except my Aunt Lillian. And she grew up Lutheran. She was confirmed Lutheran, but she married a Methodist. However, John Wesley was reading Luther's Introduction to Romans when his heart was warmed and he had a conversion. So there is some kind of a relationship between Lutherans and Methodists, and we are in dialogue together. Now, my wife Joan tops that. Her family was even closer. Her aunt and uncle lived next to them. Another aunt and uncle lived across the street. Her grandmother lived a half block away. Her other aunt and uncle lived like two blocks away. I mean, we lived in a very idyllic situation where we all had our family together. We all had the same faith. And it was wonderful growing up in that. And I thought once we got married and I had children, we'd be in a similar situation. I had all planned out. But I know the older I get, as you notice, as you think you have all things figured out, you hear like a little chuckle from heaven. A little chuckle. Now, my son didn't marry a nice American Lutheran girl. He married a nice Singaporean Buddhist girl. And when they got married, I'm glad Don played, all are welcome to this place, because one of their male friends was a bridesmaid coming down the aisle with flowers. And that caught me, it was like interesting, very much by surprise. But it made me uncomfortable, but also I think God was teaching me, you got to open to a different perspective. Open to a different way of looking at things. Dedicate to reality, the gospel in a new situation. Because although the old ways, you think about them and they're wonderful, God's doing something new. And God's always ahead of us. It's not like we're bringing God to this situation. God's already there. It's just for us to interpret it and see where the gospel is and to proclaim that gospel. We've got to be dedicated to reality. Otherwise, we could get stuck in old ruts and old habits and all of a sudden we become this tribe against that tribe and all the other things that divide people in ways that make God just shake his head. Dedication to reality. You know, there's a story about a foggy night. I mean, you can barely see your hand in front of your face. And this captain of this battleship was going, and in the distance, very dimly, he saw another light. So he said, the radio man, radio to the ship, change your course. And the radio message came back, no, you change your course. The captain, his ego was struck. He said, radio back, we are a battleship. And the message came back, change your course, we are a lighthouse. Change of perspective. Another situation I read about, too, is this man got on the bus with his children. They were terrible. They were screaming, yelling. This lady was sitting there, and the father sat there like in a daze. Finally, the lady said, can't you control your children? Can't you do something? The man said, I suppose I should, but we just came back from the hospital. My wife just died, and I don't know how to handle them. Different perspective. What we thought we knew has to change to face reality. Well, Jesus today had his disciples learn a different perspective. You know, at first he was the rabbi. They were the students. He was the healer. They observed. He was the teacher. They learned. They were rather passive. But today, Jesus called on them to do something else. He called on them to go out two by two, 70 of them, to go two by two, and to move from receivers to givers, from spectators to participants, from followers to leaders, from learners to teachers, from disciples, students, to apostles, those sent out to proclaim and be the gospel to others. It was time for them to grow up, wake up, be responsible for what he had been to them, and let him work through them to continue the work Jesus required them to do. Can you imagine what these disciples were going through, the change? I mean, I can just look at my little changes with my son living in Singapore, and the difference is that the gospel opened my closed heart more and more, even to appreciate things that before kind of scared me, but to see, yeah, God's working here too. But for them, yet as they moved out of their comfort zone and they trusted in the promise and they went into unknown territory, what did they have? Joy. Joy of following Jesus. Joy of doing his ministry, even in places they weren't too sure of. And this, my friends, I think is a hint of the way God operates. You know, kind of wonder, you know, if Jesus so powerful, why didn't he get rid of all diseases? You know, just nobody dies anymore. Why didn't he get rid of all war? I mean, all the money could go for education and for hospitals and why didn't he just do that? You know, why? If he could do it, why didn't he do it? Well, maybe he didn't bring total peace to the world. Maybe he didn't give total healing to the world. Maybe he has a different way. Maybe Jesus didn't come so much to teach the crowds, but to teach the disciples how to teach the crowds. Maybe Jesus didn't come so much to heal people, which he did, but maybe more than that, he teach the disciples how to heal people, just like his disciples do today. Passavant Hospital, Mercy Hospital, St. Margaret's Hospital, all by followers of Jesus. Perhaps his three-year ministry wasn't so much to teach the disciples to teach the crowds, but to teach them how to teach the crowds. And so, disciples today, we form Teal College and Trinity Seminary and Union Seminary. This congregation was formed following Jesus, fulfilling Jesus. You see, as I said last week, the name in Greek for the church is ecclesia. Called out to receive the word and the sacrament, to read the word, to pray, and to let Christ fill you so much that you go out. Just like we did. You do in so many different ways I don't even know about during the week. But a few weeks ago, we all did with the Sundays on Sunday. And what a joy that was and how we helped prevent some people from starving and prevent some people from dying because of our preparation in doing that. To be a visible church in the 21st century means you can't just say, look, they know where we are. They know where the church is. They can come in. No, we need to go out. Out. Go with the gospel. There are many needs right under our noses. People who are scared. People who are nervous, people who are sick and need visited, or listening ear, or just holding their hand, or caring for them. Or maybe if somebody's sick, to say, okay, maybe I can help, you know, if it's grandchild, mow the lawn, or help whatever. They need someone to be with them, to give them hope. Someone with them who they see faith active in love in that person, in you. Love to be with that person, to be in that relationship. God in Christ has done, continues to do, and will do that for us. But now he calls us to wake up, grow up in the gospel, grab onto his word and his grace, and risk going out there in any many beautiful ways that you have in your own lives, and together to Tell the council, tell me, tell the church how we can even better do that gospel. And Jesus is a realist. He said, you're going out as lambs among the wolves. As you practice the good news, part of that good news is feeding the hungry. You know, in this world, we have resources that no person should go hungry. We have the ability to do that. Do we have the will to do that? Or the homeless, sheltered. Why do we have more homeless today? Why are many of these homeless military people? Why? We don't have to have this. We have the ability, we have the resources, the richest nation in the world, to do something about that. Or to heal the sick. No human being, especially in America, should go without health care. Jesus Christ wants everybody to have health. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. No more the poor, especially the needy, the widows, the orphans. To take care of them, to let them know they are loved. The stranger and sojourner, immigrants, not looked at as criminals, evil people, just like the Nazis did to the Jews. But these are human beings. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free on our Statue of Liberty. That's what God wants. And to realize that we're proclaiming this gospel in an environment that's very much turning against what is commonly good. But don't be afraid. We're not bringing Jesus anyplace. God is already there. God, the kingdom's going to come. God's going to make a new heaven, a new earth. We just got to help people catch up to that, and we got to fight against anything that blocks people from seeing that and acting on that, and to know the love, joy, peace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are a training ground. We are faith incubators in this church for the word and sacrament to be strengthened to go out and do that for our neighbor, for our state, for our country, for our world, to be the light. Why else would Jesus say to you, you will do these things and greater things than these because I go to the Father? You have the Holy Spirit. God's with you to be disciples. He wants us, in any way we can, to help him help others to be disciples and move from that to be apostles, to go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus promises us today, he is with us all the way, but don't rejoice in that, but rejoice that your names are already written in heaven. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.